Commanders in D.C. reach a deal for a new $4 billion stadium at the RFK site, and folks are dancing in the street. You heard Scott Van Pelt, this morning on ESPN talk about it. He was downright giddy. Joining us right now from ESPN 630 in D.C., courtesy of the Window Nation's guest hotline, he is Andy Poland. Good morning to you, Andy.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How exciting is, I admit I'm not a Commanders fan, but I understand football and I understand what football means to D.C. And I also understand that the place you play in right now is not very fan friendly in terms of getting there and getting out. I hate coming down there for a football game, a college game as well. How excited are you about this new project at the RFK site?
First of all, a little bit, you may be right on the total price. Right now, they're talking about $3 billion, not $4 billion, but okay. With cost overruns, who knows? Second, the point about getting in and out, you guys don't know how good you have it. Going to M&T Bank Stadium, especially coming from the D.C. area where you can get on 95 like 5 minutes after the game is over, even if it's a sellout and everybody stays to the end. Yeah, that's been a problem, not to mention sewage dumping on the fans, railings collapse, just a mess that the new owners had to put $75 million into just to make it inhabitable for the last couple of seasons. But, this is a huge deal. This really goes back more than 30 years. The great hope was that when they were through with RFK that they would stay in the district. But that didn't work out for a variety of reasons, which we can get into if you want. But they have been in what has been a dump of a stadium for nearly 30 years. And there's still a couple of steps that have to go. Congress has to approve this, and then it has to be approved by the city council. And there is resistance on that because they don't want to spend $1 billion of city money to pay for this. But this seems to be a dance that goes on all the time with the building of stadiums. And I think that ultimately there will be a deal in place. And the hope is that it will be open in time for the start of the 2030 season.
And aside the fact that, as you said, it's playing in a dump, which is never good for the fans. How much do people chafe about the fact it's in Maryland? Because I grew up, sadly, a Jets fan. And when they end up playing in New Jersey, everybody was pissed off.
Jets haven't won since Vietnam, Ed. Sorry.
Jeremy, I don't think you were in when I there was a car in front of me. I tried to get a photo of the bumper sticker. It said, New York Jets, 1968 Super Bowl champs. I had to explain to Celeste why I was laughing so hard. Anyway, back to Andy. And do people resent the fact it's in Maryland and not in the district?
Well, I mean, they just resent the fact that that stadium exists. And, this is an interesting area in that you have the Virginia suburbs and then the Maryland suburbs, and then D.C. is in the middle. And people who live in Virginia never go to Maryland. People who live in Maryland never go to Virginia, but both states go to D.C. And, there's this great tradition over the years of going to games at RFK Stadium, and becomes an even more romantic notion when you think about the great run that they had through the 1980s and into the early 1990s. And not only has this been a bad stadium that they moved into in 1997, but under the ownership of Dan Snyder, the team was an embarrassment. It was a disgrace. And so that ties into, the feelings that people have about the stadium. As far as, commuting and what state it's in, I don't think that's as big a deal, because we had the Capitol Center here for, 25, 30 years, and that was in Maryland. So I don't think that's an issue. It's just the fact that combination, bad ownership, bad football team, bad stadium.
Well, other than that, how was the play? Andy, so again, being a Washington fan and seeing the change, I can only imagine with new ownership, now the stadium stuff, it has to feel like that you guys are taking a huge leap forward, even after finding your franchise quarterback as well. So being a Commanders fan right now has a ton of promise, right?
Oh, in 24 months, the ownership of Josh Harris has taken the most disgraceful team in sports to one of the jewel franchises, in the NFL, minus the stadium. And this would be the final step in that. But, realize what he's done just in the last 12 months. Hired a real GM in Adam Peters, hired a real coach in Dan Quinn, got a franchise quarterback in Jaden Daniels, and now has gotten approval, at least, you know, the ball at the 2-yard line to build the new stadium, which, as people have been hoping for 30 years, would be built right where it's going to be built.
Andy Polin joins us from ESPN 630. Now, Andy, your baseball team won a World Series recently. Your football team seems to be back on the right track. What's going on with the Wizards, and do they have a plan to ever be a contender in the East?
The plan is that the ping pong balls land properly in a few weeks and they get Cooper Flagg. But even with that, they're telling you that it's still going to be a while. Grab a Snickers. Last two seasons have been historically bad, the worst two seasons in franchise history. They're probably going to be a lottery team again next year. But after what has gone on for a long time of them staying, you know, relatively competitive, idiotic moves like giving Bradley Beal a no-trade clause in his max contract and things like that, that's all over with, and they're building with young players, and the hope is they all develop. But, you know, you never know. You see what happened with Philadelphia. I mean, it looked like they had gone through the process and everything was lined up for them to make a run at the title, and now Joel Embiid is breaking down, and they may have to start all over again. So, you know, Wizards have been kind of, eh. You know, the last time anybody really got excited about them was when they went to back-to-back finals in 78 and 79. It's really, you know, by far the number four franchise here. And the Capitals, with all the excitement about Ovechkin, you know, breaking the record and now being on the doorstep of getting to the second round, that's where the excitement is right now.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't think anybody's cared about a Wizard since Harry Potter came out. And getting Cooper Flagg would definitely change that franchise. Sorry, Ed.
That's fine. That's fine. And just you mentioned the Caps. I mean, I love hockey. I'm pretty excited that they're, you know, they're advancing. They look like they're going to take the Canadiens. Are you surprised at all they were this good this year? I didn't think they'd be, you know, a division leader this year.
Oh, when, you know, you're looking at the Ovechkin chase for Gretzky's record, my feeling was a couple of years ago, well, you know, they're going to have to drag him across the finish line mm-hmm. with a rebuilding team, and this, you know, could get embarrassing. And the way it's turned out, he's as good as he's ever been. You know, he missed 16 games this year and still had 42 goals. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that they're a good team led by an old guy who has shown a lot, you know, promise with the younger players that, you know, they're on track even when Ovechkin does leave and he's got 1 year left on his contract.
There he is, Andy Polin. Andy, thanks a lot, my friend, for your time, sir.
Good to talk to you guys. Take care.
Always. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.